solution.
Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing, share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Sawubona. In Senegal, Nanga Def. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif. Join me and my co-host Kareem Hamid every Wednesday morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on the Female Solution Radio Show as we explore that relationship that is the foundation for our society, the relationship between men and women, husbands and wives. Join our discussion as we seek to repair broken family ties and rebuild our community. Listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to our hosts. Or you can join us live on Facebook at www.facebook.com/the-female-solution.
Of love, and yet it was all
the commemoration of murdered and missing Indigenous women and girls. What would it take for us to end this war between the sexes that makes our relationships so full of fear, distrust, and violence? We're going to talk about that, and we'll be back in just a moment, so we want you to stay with us.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Praise be to Almighty God. I believe we have our beloved host, Naima Latif, is with us at this time. Assalamu alaikum, Naima Latif.
Wa alaikum salam. And to all of our wonderful listeners on the American Muslim 360 channel, we say assalamu alaikum. Peace be upon you all. And may the love and joy and beauty of our Creator be in your heart. I'm so grateful that you all are joining us today as we talk about real love in this war between the sexes. You know, I had a contrasting experience on Monday. Monday was the commemoration of Valentine's Day, February 14th, and there's a whole history behind that, which we'll probably talk about later in the show. But it has evolved into a commemoration of love, love between couples, even love between the human family. And so we had a chance to talk about that a bit on our show with Monday Morning Mindfulness and our wonderful host, Zelda Speaks, and also our Thursday host, Dr. Debbie Green, and really getting into some of the emotional states, the psychological states that affect our relationships. And then after that, I had the experience of being one of the presenters at a program, a national program, put on by an organization, MMIWG, which stands for Murdered and Missing Indigenous Women and Girls. And this organization has been raising consciousness about the fact that there are so many women who get murdered, some in the state of domestic violence situations, some as a result of kidnapping, some as a result of sex trafficking. And often these cases aren't pursued because Indigenous women, meaning those of Native ancestry and, you know, often African ancestry, are just not considered as important and often are the ones who get used, abused, and trafficked and beaten. And the idea of raising consciousness about this is to sensitize people of the plight of women. But I wanted to take a look at something even deeper, and this is what we are creating in our culture that is hostile to women, that makes it difficult for us to have a love relationship. And as you may know, the history of Valentine's Day, you know, Saint Valentine was actually someone who was in the earlier days of Christianity, a very strong proponent of the Christian faith, the belief in love and forgiveness of the Creator, the teachings of the one we know as Jesus. And at that time, those people were highly persecuted and jailed because they were not advocating the accepted belief system of the time. And so one particular man, Valentine, was jailed, and the daughter of one of the guards fell in love with him. And, of course, this was not allowed. He was considered one that was a criminal. And when he was executed, there was a love letter to her that he had sent to her, and it was signed, "From Your Valentine." And, you know, it was a bittersweet love story between the two. And, you know, the jailers kept saying, "Well, look, if you'll just renounce this Christian belief, then we'll let you go." And he's like, "No, I'm going to be dedicated to what I believe is the teachings of God about love, forgiveness, kindness, mercy, and all of that." So ultimately, their love story became legendary and commemorated with St. Valentine's Day. And the symbol has been a heart, or it's been a little cupid with the heart, you know, the arrow that goes through your heart, because when you're in love, it's like you've been struck, your heart has been struck, but also your heart can be pierced and broken if the one you love does not love you back or is not able to love you back. So this is the origins of that holiday, but when we look at the whole idea of love and forbidden love and controlled love, we have to look at what has evolved in our belief systems about relationships that are allowed to be or not allowed to be, and how sometimes people have been mistreated and even killed. We know that there has been the long time tradition in the old days of punishment of people if they engaged in romantic love, intimate love, without the approval of their families or the authorities. Women being stoned to death for what was called, you know, fornication or adultery, sex outside of one's marriage or sex with someone one was not married to, getting killed for that. The whole expression of our intimacy has surrounded violence toward women. And so I wanted to unravel where that came from so we can figure out how to end this war between the sexes, this undercurrent of violence, of fear, men killing their wives if they suspect them of unfaithfulness, or men killing women if they don't return their love, the stalkers that go after somebody who's broken up with them, the sex trafficking, the selling of women's bodies as a commodity, and how that's led to a whole international trade of women and women being kidnapped and sent and trafficked abroad and sold for sex. Whereas the sexual expression is supposed to be one of love, it has been one of misuse and abuse. So I want to unravel where that came from so that we can fix it, because something has been broken in the spirit of love that our Creator gave us and the beauty of love that our Creator gave us, and it has instead evolved into an ugliness, a cruelty that we must undo so that we can experience real love. Today, my brother, and I'm looking forward to all of our family participating. Call in 515-605-9325. Please press 1 when you have something to say. We've already got a caller in queue over on this switchboard, and we're certainly looking forward to you calling in on the American Muslim 360 switchboard, 515-605-9891. Again, press 1. When you get your thoughts together, what you want to say, and we'll give you a chance to express your thoughts. One of the things I want to really address, Brother Kareem, it seems as if all our religions have developed an undercurrent of hostility toward women, all of them. And we know that anything that is hostile does not come from the mind of the Creator. It comes from the filter of our own human thinking. A revelation comes, a pure thought from the Creator, teaching us how to have the pure, unconditional love of the Creator. And we then take it through our human filter and translate it into our own beliefs that are limited by our human experience. And they end up being expressions of that which is within us that is incorrect. And that which is incorrect is the thought that any one being is of lesser value than the other. And so in all of our religions, we've seen this undercurrent of women being devalued. And verses will be interpreted in such a way as if to imply that the Creator of the universe has a dislike for women. And we've been taught these things in every single religion on the earth, but this is not the teaching that came to us from the Creator. It's that which has been changed, misinterpreted, certainly misrepresented by the human mind. So how do we undo that? And Brother Kareem, is it possible to challenge long-held belief systems? Because when you do that, you face great hostility, as we saw from the one we know as Jesus, trying to teach love and being crucified because he was teaching that which is different than the allowed belief system at the time. And this is part of what our St. Valentine's Day comes from, someone believing in that teaching of love and being executed and not even allowed to love the woman who fell in love with him. Think about that, Brother Kareem. Can we go through the things we've been taught and dismantle that which is negative and harmful and hostile toward women? What do you think?
Wonderful question. Wonderful subject matter. Let me first state that that the religions, the legitimate religions on the earth, do not support the practice of oppressing and looking negative toward women. None of them at their core, at their original edict, the original, does not show any indication that the Creator has defamed or dehumanized the female. It is the bigoted and prejudiced thinking of men that may insert that type of thinking, the scripture, or may take one scripture and misinterpret it and twist it to fit their bigoted position. But all of the religion, all of the originality of the faith does not support the idea of women being the other. It supports the idea of male and female coming from one soul. They are one. And Allah does not favor one over the other. That must be said. So it's a lot of time is the misinterpretation, the misreading, or sometimes things were written into scripture, and it was not from God. It was from the mind of men, the mind of men. So we have to be willing to make that separation, to make that demarcation, that this is not from God. This is from written by the hand of one that has placed his or her opinion inside of Scripture and say, this is from God. That's first. And the second thing is that we all come from females. We all have mothers. We all have mothers. And boy, if you really want to get into a fight or an argument, say something demeaning about someone's mother. You know, I was having a conversation a few days ago, and we were reminiscing back, and we used to engage in what we call here St. Louis Joanie, or it's playing the dozen. And, you know, we would come up with insulting little rhymes, little ditties and rhymes to see who can out-joan each other. And playing the dozens, a lot of times you would interject someone's mother in a negative light. And, you know, it was a competition. But all young men didn't play that. No, wait, no. You're not going to talk about my mother, man, you know. So even with that, there is, you know, if we be truthful, we feel a slight pushback. Even those that may hold those views, their nature is not truly involved in that. They're speaking from their perceived thinking, but their nature, the human nature, rejects that. And by way of Valentine, you know, Hallmark is very grateful that we set aside February the 4th. The floral industry is very grateful. You know, that is their profit day. That's their profit day. They make a lot of money from Valentine's Day cards and the sending of flowers, the exchange of flowers. I'm not against setting aside a day that we put the focus, crazy to my, the human focus on the love that we should have between each other, the male and female. But that should not be set aside for one day. We can highlight that day. But that type of affection for one another should be the 24/7, 365 days a year. Not just one day you have mistreated him or her. Because Valentine cards are not just given from males to females, they're also given from females to males. And here comes this day. Now, you've been treating each other bad all year. Then here comes this day. The male knows he must run down to the store for Valentine's Day card. He must stop by the florist. He must stop by the candy store and get a box of heart-shaped chocolates. And he comes in, and she, you know, oh, thank you, baby. I'm not demeaning doing that. These types of things should occur just randomly. Not a holiday, just randomly. Just show up one day, you know, and you bring your loved one a floral bouquet, or else you yourself write. You write down how you feel. I don't need Hallmark. You know that I'm not buying them. They have a very profitable business. But when you really feel a thing and it's coming from the heart, you yourself should be able to offer that. No one can say it better than me. And but now they have some very moving Valentine's Day cards, and they're red and gold, all that. So wonderful. But I think of greater value is when you state to the one that you love your affection for them, how you value them. It's coming from out of you. No one anonymously has written this, you know. And so I believe we should practice this giving and showing affection, the true love for each other, 24/7, not just because a certain day has come around. Now, you know, I'm going to run out and buy these articles as an expression of what I feel about you. No, how I treat you, how I make you feel, how I myself make you feel. That is a greater expression to me of love. So it is through having programs like this and discussions like this that we can, inshallah, remove this silent war between men and women. It is the enemy of the human being that creates these separations, these demarcations between husband and wife, between male and female. We have to defeat that scheme. It is a scheme. It is a scheme. But it requires individuals. No movement can do this. No big organization, all of that, we issue proclamations, declarations, and line item, do's and don'ts. No, it comes from the individual heart, the individual's mind. This cannot be legislated. This has to be genuine. But it comes with making the corrections of our perceptions of one another and having the courage. I keep saying this. I'm going to continue to say it. Have the courage to investigate all that we have been given by way of that which is designed to support our lives. And when I say courage, I'm talking about an investigation of what we have been given as the revealed word of God, what is and what is not, what has been written in by the hand and mind of man, and what is truly revealed knowledge, truly the revelation of the word of Almighty, and even correct our perception of those words. Yes, I'll give you an example, and this is one of many explanations for this. This is only a small rendering. It says that Eve, portrayed as the female in the garden, that the snake approached Eve. And you know they are drawn pictures of a physical woman, which is erroneous. And that the snake told her to take this forbidden fruit and give it to Adam. And here I know the snake says, I'm a sincere advisor to you two. Let me show you how to gain much of this world. I know what the Lord has said. But if you eat this fruit, you shall gain much. You shall gain the world. You will eat the food of the gods. Now, that's a clue right there. You shall be as angels. Drop the restrictions. Drop the moral restrictions and discipline. And just go at this world wholesale without being sensitive to the moral consequences, the moral question. Now, it is written that, this enemy approach is the woman, the female. It approached the sensitivities and of human beings. It approaches the emotional nature. It comes subtly through your emotions. It creates sentiments and excitement within us as a human family. That is symbolic of, what we call the female part of us, male and female. That I will comment at you through your, he didn't go directly to Adam. Adam is symbolic of the rational thinking. The rational thinking, that is synonymous to Adam, and Adam is male and female. I'm going to give you a current example. We have leadership in the religious order, and they will follow the ways and the appetite of the congregation. But he is the leader. He is the one that is supposed to guide them and warn them of the pitfall and inspire them in their lives. But go to our places of worship. They bought the club. They bought the bump dancing. They bought twerking. And all of these things. And our party dress into the sacred environment of our sacred places that we and the pastor, he is the one to call attention to that. And that is coming from out of the world.
Well, and Brother Corinne, we got to take a break. When we come back, we got to take a quick break. But when we come back, I want to examine some of the points that you raised about this thought that we have allowed to pervade our cultures that is very hostile toward the female and is coming out of our religious teachings. So we're going to examine some of those points that you've raised. And we got some callers in line, so hold on, 773-737 come to you next, and then 773-487 come to you after that. So hold on. We'll be right back. And those who've joined us on our switchboard, whenever you get your thoughts together and want to add to this conversation, just press 1. That will raise your hand on our switchboard, and we'll come to you and get your thoughts. So we'll be right back after this quick break, and we want you all to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment, so stay with us.
Tune in to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn it into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
Hi, I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. And in case you didn't notice the resemblance, we're also three sisters.
We're going to be coming to you every week, sharing our successes and our mistakes as we navigate our lives as moms, wives, sisters, daughters, and of course, Black women in today's world.
We'll talk about it all. Race, politics, religion, economics, culture, and we'll take a look at everything from whether or not to use corporal punishment to how do you teach your children about sex.
Look for our upcoming book, Growing Up Charles. It's a personal story about our lives growing up in Maple Park on Chicago's South Side. I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three Black moms. Follow us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Three Black Moms.
What if you could live to be 120 years old and remain active, healthy, alert, and vibrant? Our bodies are made up of cells that are constantly rejuvenating. So if we take proper care of ourselves, we can literally defy aging. Join us every Tuesday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time to learn about self, cell care from Susan Essentials on the Female Solution Blog Talk Radio Show. Learn how to help your body and your cells feel rejuvenated each day through proper nutrition, sleep, frequency medicine, and many unconventional methods of self-care. I'm Jody Susan. Join me and my amazing guests by calling in at 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak. We'll help you achieve a breakthrough in your health today.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Nine Lizzie. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world. Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and move around with Deborah here on the Female Solutions Show. Call in and comment 515-605-9325.
Unmuted.
And press 1 to speak.
Are back. You are listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, along with our co-host Kareem Hamid and our American Muslim 360 family, as we are taking a look at learning real love. How do we end this war between the sexes? We've got a comment from one of our Facebook family. It says, Grand Rising, beautiful queen, sister, oh, Grand Rising to you. And says, thank you for sharing such a needed conversation. Love, love, love. Thanks. Well, we thank you, our dear sister of the microphone. And we are certainly hoping to restore real love so that we can build a world of love. We've got three callers on the line that want to say something. So, well, I'm going to go to our callers, Brother Kareem. I'm sure they want to comment on what you said. I want to throw that thought out there, though. You know, the idea, and I'm going to ask all of you to just feel, because we have an internal guidance system that tells us when something is right or not right. And if we don't ignore it, then we can know when something doesn't feel right, and we can know that it really isn't correct. Now, I just want you to feel the thought that the Creator would tell you, first of all, that you're not supposed to have understanding and knowledge. So the thought that there's this tree, that if you eat the fruit, it will reveal to you the knowledge of good and evil. Right now, you're in a state of ignorant bliss. You know nothing, but you're supposed to stay ignorant. So just feel how that feels. Someone would say, I don't want you to have understanding, so you're not supposed to know. And then the idea that, you know, before you were innocent, you were naked, you didn't know you were naked, and it wasn't a big deal. I mean, it didn't mean anything bad. But once you ate the fruit of this tree, then you got guilty about it and you felt ashamed. So as long as you don't eat this fruit, you won't have this shame about your body. And once you eat this fruit, then you're going to have that shame about your body. And then, of course, as Brother Kareem says, the interpretation of that whole allegory being that the female, the woman, is the one who, quote, disobeyed. And then the thought being, because you disobeyed and deceived the man, then you're going to be punished by having to be ruled over by him and bear your children in childbirth. The Creator did that to you because you deceived him by having him fruit, which then opened your eyes as to the thoughts of guilt and shame and good and evil. Just how does that feel? Does that feel right in your soul? That thinking that belief, or have you had to make yourself swallow that, you know, like you swallow, you know, something bitter or rotten, you make yourself swallow it, even though it tastes horrible. How does that thought feel? I'm going to take some callers, but Kareem,
it's been very, very quickly, very shortly, I will give us an idea of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, prior to this tree being mentioned, Almighty God taught Adam the nature of all things. We are the descendants of Adam. And God taught Adam the nature of everything, and that is housed within us. Now, and you mentioned that when something is introduced to you, you feel an uneasiness. That is the content that God has placed within every human being. We know when something, you know, you can feel it. It's in our flesh body. Now, this tree of good and evil, you are being now placed in front of evil and good, and you pause there. You stop right there in the center of good and evil. Why would you pause? Because you are contemplating. Your own thinking is getting involved. Your own thinking is being challenged, and you are at the point of decision. No, go straight to what you know is correct. Don't even think about it. Don't even think about it. There is no question. I don't have to stop and think about, should I slap my wife down? Should I go out and rob someone? That thought enter your head. The Christian says, rebuke Satan and he will flee from you. The Muslim says, I seek refuge with Almighty God from the accursed Satan. Immediately, don't pause. Don't stand there in decision. So that knowledge of good, it is there. But we are placed with a free will. And it is Satan that suggests aberrant wrong behavior to us. Don't even linger there. Don't even let that thought take root within your thinking and your emotions. The tree of good and evil. We are in an environment of decision. Those that believe in God and have the content of Adam within them, God has placed obedience in our soul. Immediately go to what you know is right.
Right.
I'll stop right there, my sister.
Absolutely. So now I'm going to go to our callers and throw this thought out there. What if that whole idea of women introducing so-called sin to man is a lie? What if the whole thing is a lie? And this story, as Brother Green has explained, symbolic of our nature, our emotional nature being able to be influenced in a negative manner, not the women being...
Not the flesh body.
Because they disobeyed. What if that whole interpretation of the idea of the female being cursed by God because she deceived Adam, what if that whole thing is a lie? Are we willing to listen to that internal guidance that we have? Like Brother King just said, we all have it. Our soul tells us something good, right and wrong. Are we willing to say, you know, this interpretation was put forth by men who had maybe a resentment of women in their hearts, but it's a lie. Are we willing to do that? Let me go to our phone line. And I'm going to first go to our dear sister, Mama D, 773-737 Grand Rising. Thank you for joining us today on The Female Solution. What are your thoughts today?
Well, hallelujah, greetings, Global Transformers and Solutionaries, Grand Rising. I have two things.
Grand Rising,
to
Mama
say,
D.
But Grand Rising to you. These Adam and Eve was made adults. They skipped sex education, and if you read the story as it is written, it was Adam who violated on purpose. Eve was tricked, and she was deceived. That is what's written. Adam was the one who made the choice. Well, you're alive, so God must be a liar. So he should have checked his
stats. Didn't you look at it that way, didn't you?
You know, so that's the whole program, man. In our image and in our likeness, male and female, created he them, and guess what? He blessed them, and guess what? He told them to be fruitful and multiply, because it takes the two
and
of
he
the
named opposite them
sex
Adam,
to make that go
and
down.
And he called them
and
Adam. And
mankind. And he called, right. So there was equality from the beginning, but man don't want to hear that. He want to skip over into Genesis 3 or 4 or 5, but he won't deal with Genesis 1:26 on what happened on that sixth day. He don't deal with that at all. He blessed them. He blessed the female and he blessed the man. And he told them to take dominion over the earth. So if we could get that straight, we wouldn't have all these other issues. But getting back to Valentine's Day, the two things that I wanted to talk about was, although I think wives should be lovers too, Valentine's Day focuses on lovers, not marriage. And then last year, I was appalled by a Stoke Candy commercial. Now, it featured the adults was getting chocolate candy, giving it to each other. Then they showed a little black girl, I think she was about age 6 or 7, walking over to a little white boy. This is what she did. She gave him a box of candy, and then she gave him a hug. Now, if you just change the color of that little girl, do you really think that there would have been a little white girl walking over to being sexualized at age 6, walking over to a little black boy, giving, reversing the roles. She's not getting the candy. She's giving the candy. And then now that she done bribed him, she can put her little filthy look of hands around him and give him a hug. Do you really think that was going down?
The subtle message in that?
You know?
You see the subtle message in that?
Oh, definitely. It was all over. All of it was there. This is a little girl. Why is she being sexualized? Why is she being sexualized with a little boy that's outside of her race? Why is she reversing the roles and acting, taking the male's part? And instead of getting the candy, she's giving the candy. And now she can hug. So,
you know, there's a commercial out.
I would like for our callers to respond to this or viewers. You know, it's interesting because, you know, when we see a commercial and everything is subliminal, but the question is, what do we perceive as the intent of the ones who created the commercial? We can perceive it many different ways. We could perceive it as they were innocently trying to express a thought of all the races loving each other, all different colors, or love has no color, and, you know, the little black girl gives the candy to the little white boy. It could have been an innocent thought like that, or, as you said, it could be a subliminal, well, why is this little black girl, you know, kind of subtly being sexualized and, you know, sort of seducing this white boy with the candy? It could be, you know. The thing is, do we know the intention of those who created that commercial? Was it innocent? Was it meant to be a message of universal love? Or was it something a little more sinister or intentional in subliminal messaging? You know, that's always the question when we see commercials.
The fact that they didn't put it out with a little white girl in the reverse role or a little Asian girl or a little Native American girl, they knew exactly what they were doing and why they were doing it. It's just that there was no outcry because that little girl wasn't a little white girl. They would have snatched that commercial, been boycotting it, all kind of things. But number two, the reason I have a problem with, as I said, there is no day for marriage. The Valentine's Day is focused on fornication. It's about some lovers, some sweethearts, some folks that ain't married yet. And as long as there's no marriage day, even though, as I said, I believe wives should be lovers too, that is suspect. But what I have a problem with is because my sister, Helen Richard, PA driver, ever slain in the line of duty on February 13, 1984, Lincoln's birthday, by a woman who wanted, 23 years old, wanted to use her high school pass and ride the bus for a discounted fare. She attacked my sister while she was sitting in the chair. She got up out of the chair to defend herself. This woman pulled a gun, a .32 caliber gun with explosive bullets called dum-dums in it. They rattled on with the gun up in the air, down the air, and around, and the first shot went off on the bus, so all the passengers on the bus knew that was a loaded gun and knew they was in danger also. But at the end of the day, when we saw her body right in the dark part of her breast next to the nipple, tiny little hole where that bullet had entered and exploded because these bullets were illegal, and that's the way they hit with twice the impact, and then they exploded. So I said to myself, now, you know what? You see this little Cupid arrow? It's going right through the heart. And that bullet went right through my sister's heart. And I could never, from that moment on, and that was 38 years ago, look at a Valentine's Day card without saying, oh, no, you little Cupid devil. You know, you're killing love. Got the arrow sitting up there like you're a Cupid baby when you're a demon devil sitting up there. Wow, I just killed love straight through it. And an arrow through a heart or a bullet through a heart, that heart is dead. That love is dead. And the little devil doll called Cupid that did it, we think he's so cute.
Well, Mama D, that was a very traumatic experience you had with your sister, and definitely it had to have been life-changing, and it definitely is going to impact how you see things, especially something like an arrow through the heart, because that is a symbol of death, not certainly not the beauty and joy of love, but pain of love broken. So that is a horrible experience to have had, and the date that it occurred, of course, that's going to be marked indelibly in your heart forever. So I want to look at a couple of things that you mentioned before we take our next caller and take a break. And Beata's joining us on Facebook, says shalom and greetings to Scarly. Thank you so much for joining us, Beata. And Zelda responded to what you said. She said, Mama D hit the nail on the head. Subliminal programming. Nothing innocent about that. We know these truths. It's right in our faces. So, you know, when we see things, we do have to examine, is there an underlying subliminal message, or is it as innocent as it seems? And given the way our young girls have been sexualized at a young age, and just as we talked about, even with the event that I went to on Monday, the murdered, missing indigenous women and girls, the fact when we are trafficked and sexualized early, you know, 12, 13, 14-year-olds being sold into the sex traffic, we really have to be aware of every image that we're given that could easily give the impression of something that is sinister is somehow okay. But I want to, before we take a break, I'm going to throw a thought out there and take our next call. And I want to thank you, Mama D, for the questions you've raised. This idea of lovers, those who love, those who engage in intimacy, whether they are married or unmarried, and the thought of fornication and the incorrectness of sexual intimacy. First of all, I want to put a thought out there. Because before the church establishment was created and before the state institution was created, men and women formed unions and had intimacy. And it was their personal decision to be what's considered husband and wife, a couple, a union, a unit, a family. At what point did a state institution or a religious institution decide that they had the right to approve or disapprove someone's union and call it wrong and punish people for their personal decision to have an intimate relationship as a couple? At what point did that become something that we judged either correct or incorrect and punishable by law if not approved by a state institution or a religious institution or a combination of both? The idea of fornication, and we I think Robert Kwame even gave us some history on that last week. But I want to throw that thought out there.
Is that really something that exists as a wrong, your intimacy? I mean, you look at the animal kingdom, you know, they have their ways, you know, of choosing a mate, forming a family. You know, nobody stands before a priest or a pastor or a judge and says, okay, we approve of you. They just do this. It's the way of life. So early Adam, Eve, you know, wives of Cain, Abel, whatever, all the human family, they form union based on the love between the two people. At what point did we allow someone to judge the love as incorrect or correct and punishable and give it a name and make it something we call sinful? Is that another man-made construct that has nothing to do with God? I want us to think about it. I'm going to take a break, Brother Sam, and I'm going to come back. I want to talk about that. But we got to take another quick break.
All right.
So reflect on that a moment in the next couple of minutes. Is that actually an artificial construct about controlling who can have sex and who decides who can be intimate? And is that a real wrong or something that an entity, an organization created as a way to control people? Reflect on that for a moment, and we'll be right back and talk about that. And we're going to take some more calls, and we may come back to you again, Mama D, get your thoughts on that. But 863, we're coming to you next. 487, coming to you next. And if Brother Curry, if you've got any callers on your switchboard, we'll get to them as well. I want to
312-671. We'll come to you after these most important public service announcement.
All righty. So I want us to reflect on this and think about what if what we've been taught about this is wrong. Think about it.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed into the swing of things? Well, don't worry. You are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating and mindful conversations on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference, too. Be inspired. Watch the Media Connection.
And let us share one more with you.
I'm Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com. where you can also review my three-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viata.
To and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. I'm Latif, along with our co-host, Kareem Hamid. And we are having a very interesting discussion about love. As we have just acknowledged the yearly celebration of love through Valentine's Day. We also know that there is a lot of pain between men and women in this area of love. And so we have to dismantle the roots of where this relationship went awry from its origin of the unity of male and female. So I want to throw this thought out there.
Unmuted.
So much of our belief systems have to do with control over a woman's body and control over whether or not she can be sexually active. Now, in the animal kingdom, we know that, you know, males, they may vibe in various ways, you know, who's the strongest or who's the fastest or whatever. The mating season, we know that the various species have their way of determining who's going to get the female they desire. And nowhere in nature do you see females fighting females over males. It's always, as Mama Dee pointed out, it's always the male that pursues the female. So something kind of strange when you have the image of a female kind of pursuing a male. You know, what is that all about? But in our belief system, there's the undercurrent of controlling whether or not a woman may be sexually active or intimate with someone, and also punishing her if she does what some authority doesn't want her to do, in a name, shaming her about her sexuality, making it a crime, making it punishable by death. All of these things, none of these are from the mind of the Creator. All of these are from the mind of human beings wishing to control that which is natural, that which has been given to us by the Creator of our own free will as a means of expressing love. So how do we get a thought that a woman deserves to be beaten or stoned to death because she is physically intimate with a male that someone else didn't want her to be intimate with? Who has authority to decide what a woman should do with her body other than that woman? And why have we, the women, allowed the thought to be pervasive that we may be punished if we are intimate and we have a love relationship with someone that someone in authority doesn't approve of? Isn't that what happened with St. Valentine and the daughter of the jailer? Her love was disapproved. He was executed. But truly, who has the right to decide who can be in love and be intimate other than those two people of free will? And why would any one other entity, whether it's an organization or anyone else, think they have a right to decide and to label it as wrong if they don't like it and to punish it with death or beating or public humiliation? Why have we allowed that thought to tarnish the purity of love when it happens nowhere else in nature?
I want us to think about that. And I'm going to go to this caller, area code 773-487, and think about that thought. And introduce yourself to our listening audience and give us your thoughts.
Well, it's Cooper James. I'm an indigenous male. And I think all those stories or allegories that you guys have been talking about are European creations. And I grew up with parents that told me never to follow what a European creates, because their history and our history is different. Their history comes from Adam and Eve. Our history comes from being born out of trees. So they create, they take two people and create this story. We have to have our own story. That's why I don't follow the world. I don't want my mind indoctrinated by the world. And if you never notice, if you look on the internet and you type up indigenous woman, you're going to get a Spanish lady pop up. But then when you see indigenous woman missing, it's always be the black woman. They know black people are the true indigenous people, because we were here before, there were black folks here on this planet before any other races. Okay? So I don't kind of follow these stories, these European stories. They're cute. They're cute. And if you follow them, you know, maybe it's going to end up with violence. You know, if I'm following these European stories, maybe I'm going to end up with violence. You look at what they're doing right now. The mayor of Chicago made a call, said she's going to focus on domestic violence. And all this is my number one project. But you know what domestic violence, the organization really does? A sister told me, she goes, it is a tool to break up marriages and to go get the woman and make her gay. That's what the whole department is about. If a man lay hands on you, they bring her in, and they sit down with other women to console her and hug her and kiss her. See, that's the devil that's talking to Adam and Eve right there.
So, Koopy, okay? let me ask you a question, Koopy, because you are aware of indigenous cultures, and much of the cultural beliefs of indigenous people are very much in reverence of the female as the life bringer, as one that is indicative or symbolic of life, of love, of spirit, of divinity. You know, that's more of the indigenous idea of womanhood, as opposed to the thought that that comes out, as you said, much of the European thought system of women being something dirty, sinful, wrong, deceptive, you know, all of the hostility coming out of that thought system that Europeans have shared with the world, the underlying hatefulness toward women, and I think I mentioned this last week or sometime, the fact that there were, in that Last Supper with Jesus, there were six women that were present. They weren't in, and you don't see them anywhere in the picture. Because as Europeans began deciding what was going to be the official version of the Bible, and they interpreted things according to their belief system, they had very hostile beliefs toward females. And so that book reflects
this
that
is why,
thought.
Well, this is why we have to find.
What do you think about terms that we hear often used? Things like sin and fornication and whore and Jezebel and all of these things that take the sexuality of women and make it something dirty and wrong and condemnable, and in many cultures, considered a crime punishable by death if a woman engages in sexual intimacy without.
Like I said, that didn't.
Church or peace.
Hello?
What do you think?
That's not coming out the mind of an indigenous people. If you look at indigenous people, you look at the temples on the pyramids, you'll see a man, a strong man, and a strong woman. They're holding each other together. A picture worth a thousand words. And they have their right foot going forward, meaning they're walking together. See, that's the history that our indigenous people, we focus on. We have a rite of dancing where we dance with the drums, with no, you know, and we call our chants, you know, and we're dancing to nature, to creation. See, that's our history, you know, and we have been indoctrinated to think and to accept the European, which they're pushing it on us. Even Putin said, push our European culture on these people. They're kind of getting away from it. You know, they look at my Facebook page. It's indigenous, strong, and other people are coming like, yes, this is what we need. You know, but to protect our children, protecting our families, with our ancestral knowledge, not the European knowledge, the way he looks at individuals. Now, that's just what he experienced. I'm not coming against nothing, but. We should not entertain it and call ourselves the names that we are. You know, the woman is the mother porter of the family. And so this is the confusion that we all are having right now, all over the world, all over social media. Black folks has become Europeanized, Negropeans. And this is the problem. You become a Negropean. And now you're trying to run, you hollering for help. Help! I've been Europeanized. I'm thinking like, you know,
well, I thank you for historical perspective, but one of the things I do want to say, not Europeans, but you know, Koofy, in all fairness, every ethnicity has had traits of this kind of hostility toward women. Now, even with Native people, I mean, with those indigenous cultures, usually before they get affected by those immigrating from Europe and other places, there is more of a harmony that is more in alignment with the Creator in terms of respect for all life. That's generally what we see in indigenous cultures before they get infected with that thought. But it's not to say they were perfect, because if they were perfect, they wouldn't have been listening. Like Brother Kareem was saying, you know, you can choose to follow something that is wrong. If it's appealing to a negative emotion, you can choose to not follow it. So they could have chosen to not follow that belief system that was negative toward women and harmful toward women and dismissive of women. They could have chosen not to follow that, just like we could have chosen not to follow that. So we can't blame Europeans or anybody else, because we had the free will choice to not adopt that thought, and we chose to do it, and we're still choosing to do it when we have
other people
respect for each other.
Other people, we're sharing it. We're sharing the look at me. I'm sharing this culture, and I'm like, look at me. I'm sharing my culture. So it's like I said, right. At the end of the day, it's your choice. You know,
choice.
you want to put a wig on your hair and go out and you know, it's okay, but is that a lifestyle, or do you want to really work on your natural hair? You see what I'm saying? There are choices that we have. I'm not blaming the European. I mean, they do what they do because they want to prosper. Hey, I'm out. They hijack our music and take it and change it up and all that. We've seen what they've done, but like at the end of the day, we have a choice. What we're gonna do? I went out and sought my my ancient history, culture, rites of passage, you see? And now all the other stuff doesn't affect me because I know it is that little snake you're talking about. I know it's an indoctrination. It's taking me in another direction. So it's about a choice. It's about a choice. And we, you know, the culture is here. You know, don't you wear a lot of African gear and natural clothing? Okay, that's a reflection of your mind. You're not going out in a bikini. You're not going out flashing your body around. That's a reflection of your mind. You see, those are two different women. If a woman's out here flashing her body around, guess what? Her mind is a little bit disturbed, but she's wearing nice cultural clothes. That's attractive. In her mind, is more at peace. We've experienced that. That's just a part of the village. You know, that's common sense. So.
Well, I'll address that thing as well. But thank you so much, Koofy, for raising some issues. I'm going to see if I can squeeze in another caller before we take a break.
We have a caller here on the AM360 line.
Yes, we want to go to one of your callers before we take another, and then I'm going to go to 863 after we take one of your callers. Let me share what we have on Facebook. Zelda says, lovers come, lovers go, lovers lie, lovers grow. Lovers repeat until they heal, especially if you're their next meal. Love is simply divine when one is in their right mind. Love doesn't hurt. It's the programmed heart that's revealed. Beautiful poetry. Thank you, my sister. Wonderful. And what she says, when you think about it, love doesn't hurt. So like Mama D was saying about that arrow through the heart, that's not love. Love doesn't hurt. And love doesn't condemn. Love doesn't punish. And so all the things that have come into our culture that is hurtful, it's not love, and therefore it's not coming from the creative mind of the universe. It's coming from human beings. So just a quick thought before we go to the caller on your line, Brother Kareem. The idea of our body. There are many cultures and many different styles of dress. But what you feel about your body is basically what your culture teaches. And clothing generally is designed based on the weather that you're living in. I mean, if you're in a cold climate, you add some things to your body to protect you from the elements. There are many cultures where the weather is hot and people wear less clothing. So the idea that exposing one's body is not looked at as immoral or expressing disrespect for one's sexuality. It's just an adjustment to the weather. So where did the thought come from that there's something inappropriate about my body, or that if parts of my body are exposed, I can be violated sexually, and if I am, it's my fault. Where did that thought come from? It didn't come from an indigenous culture in a land where it's hot and people are wearing their clothes. It didn't come from there because people were wearing clothes that reflected their environment. There was not a judgment about covering certain parts of your body being a sign of morality or unmorality because there was a teaching that all life has value. So I want us to, again, think about the indoctrination that we have had. Where is it coming from? Is it really coming from the mind of the Creator when all of us are living all over the globe in various climates and our clothing is a reflection of however we need to cover ourselves from the elements and it has nothing to do with our morals? How did that thought get injected and accepted and perpetuated as a thought that if a woman is not wearing clothing on certain parts of her body, that's a symbol that she lacks the right to be respected? I want us to unravel some of these indoctrinations that cause us to keep repeating this hostility toward women, because
we have to choose to undo it. So, Brother Kareem, we're going to take a caller from your switchboard, and then we'll take a break, and then 863, I want to go to you. Reflect on that a moment, because there are people that are highly moral that may only be wearing, maybe women may be bare-chested and only wearing, you know, bottom half, wear, you know, made out of a grass skirt. But nobody violates anybody in that culture. So why is that? And what are they learning that makes them respect each other, regardless of whatever their cultural dress may be or whatever parts of the body they expose? I want to think about that for a minute. Go right ahead. Open the mic for your call.
Okay, let's go 312-671. Welcome to the Female Solution. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Thank you, Rayor and Yashalom, Grand Rising and Ashlam Lakum, Brother Kareem and Sister Naima, Minister Plump, Robert Floyd Plump, and
Wally.
And, yes. Okay, all right. We win. You know, we win is like Brother Kofi, and I do want Brother Kofi to get in touch with me too today, if he will. However, I'm into the godlike conscious. You know, the godlike conscious is always helps us as a people, and especially in digital people. We are the original and the authentic. And the wrong is always something that hurts us. You know, my concept is God's we are only, which he produces and created he and she, which is the family, which is the man is referred to as the son, and we all need son for light and direction. And the woman is reflected to as the moon, which is the female. And the children is reflected to as boys and girls, as stars, but not just stars. 50-50, Naima, from the past to present and the future, which is forever. God created us all to be equal as human beings. And one of the most important things I support is in a spiritual way, which is number one, and that's, healing the community, and that's through a marriage. We do have a 277 plus 23 equals God success through marriage, and as a result, brothers and sisters can get in touch with me through the Harold Washington Foundation.net, or they can call me for community support at 312-671-2773. And
well,
we
appreciate
being
an activist and a sharer of information. And that certainly is a powerful thought. Marriage is basically an agreement between two people, a written or unwritten contract, that they're going to combine and be family. That's what that is. And before it became a state contract or a contract with the state, it was agreement between family. We're going to join and be family, and the children that we produce are going to be part of a family. I mean, it's a simple thing. How did it get complicated, and how did it get to a point where we were not able to just do this naturally in the way that all species on the planet are able to do, expand their families? How did it get to be a complicated religious state function instead of two souls attracting each other, coming together in love and choosing to be family? What are we doing that makes that complicated? And how did it get that way? I want us to really think about that. And are our teachings actually preventing love? What Zelda just says, love doesn't hurt. How is it that we've made it so difficult to simply love? And we have all these different names that refer to each other. Yeah.
Naima, you know, there is the entity of lust,
And when someone speaks of the male and the female copulating, having sexual intercourse with one another, they have placed the word they are making love. We have to separate the two. We have been inundated or persuaded to think that the sexual act is simply an expression of love, but lust is real.
Hold that off a second. I'll take one quick last break because I think that's pretty much at the core of why we got this problem. So we're going to talk about that when we come back. Sex as an act of love and sex as an act of exploitation of somebody else's body that you don't care about. And why is that happening?
No, ma'am. No, ma'am. That's not it. No, ma'am. No, that's not it. Exploitation of someone's body.
When you don't care and it's just an act for your own pleasure, it's got nothing to do with love and family and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But let's talk about that when we come back.
That is what?
Let you get your thought as soon as we come back from this break. And then area code 863, don't go away. I'm going to come to you after that in just 1 minute because this is pretty much the core of why we got this problem. How can we fix it? We'll be right back. After this quick break, if you're listening online, we want you to join this conversation. Give us a call, 515-605-9325. We've got about 20 more minutes before we have to wrap up, so we want to hear from you. And we'll be right back after this quick break. So stay with us.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speak. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Toussaint. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategy with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Hi, I'm Jody Toussaint with Toussaint Essentials. I started Toussaint Essentials in 2015 because of a personal health journey. I was over-medicated and put on 19 different medications. And yes, I reversed all my chronic diseases using plant and energy-based healing. It was amazing. At Toussaint Essentials, we support both consumers and businesses. And we do that with helping your employees or yourself with a food as medicine mindset. How Toussaint Essentials supports businesses and consumers is we teach people about a food as medicine mindset. So we support people on how to support their own immune system, how to support their brain health, how to support their emotional well-being. And we do that all with plant and an energy-based healing.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, along with my co-host Kareem Hamid and our American Muslim 360 family, and we are talking about learning real love. How do we end this war between the sexes? Well, before our break, Brother Kareem brought up an issue which I think is at the core of the problem. Now, we are all spirit. We are
unmuted.
Life energy. We are the life force energy of the Creator inside a physical structure. And this beautiful physical structure gives us physical sensation from the worst pain to the greatest pleasure. So this is what these bodies do, and this is the experience of being inside flesh, inside body. And so this temporary experience gives us a chance to feel things. As all life forces, all animals, all beings can feel when you're inside a body. Now, Brother Graham was making a very important point, because sexuality, of course, it is a very powerful energy. And what it is designed to do is to bring us that much closer to our Creator by raising our energy, our physical experience, to a level of bliss, to a level of ecstasy, because when we're on that vibration, we connect to the Creator. That's what sexuality is supposed to do. That's why our bodies are these communication systems, giving us the power of that great ecstasy. So what happens when that is misused? Because when we're ecstasy, we open a channel for life force energy to come into us in the form of another soul. So what happens when, in our lack of understanding, we misuse that energy and we seek the physical pleasure of the ecstasy without regard to its, number one, connecting us with our Creator, and number two, forming a bond and a union with the other person, and number three, having a commitment to whatever life force energy comes through us in terms of a soul that becomes part of an extension of us and a bond of family. What happens when we misuse that beauty and power of the sexual energy, of the sexual act, and we instead look at that other person as simply a body to help create that very blissful feeling? What happens when that very powerful act is misused? And Brother Kareem has referred to it as lust, when we desire pleasure without any of the understanding of the power of that act, and therefore giving no respect to the person with whom we have committed that act. So, Brother Kareem, continue your thoughts.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. You know, you have properly identified lust and the connection with the animal life. Almighty God have not created us to be animal. He has created us to be human beings, intelligent, rational thought, decisions, and the ability to reason, the ability to reason. If we do not have a set of moral guidance, we have to govern this animal nature that we are housed within. It requires government. It requires restraint. Now, Brother Kofi was referring to indigenous people, and you was referring to the hundreds of thousands of years of man, of male and female, joining as one. Well, if we be honest and we look back at those systems of government, even the tribal government, they had a system of tribal laws. They were, the leaders had a genuine concern for the health and well-being of the tribe and the future of the tribe. There were people among us in that tribal system that were known as griots, and they could enunciate blood lineage going back for hundreds of years. So he was somewhat of a record keeper. In the Quran, Almighty God mentions the sacred bonds of blood relationship. So we become family, and from out of that we have grown into the rights of inheritance, the leaving of property, the maintenance of the children, because there are regulations. We have to regulate this body that we're in. And it requires thought and reason and reasoning and bring about the best for the human being. Now, just walking around butt naked in this society, it induces within us lust with no regard for what comes after that, with no regard of the consequences of that. That so civilized man, praise be to a God, have in some degree and different way principles and laws to govern for the health and the well-being of the group, the sacred bonds of blood relationship. Our children need to know who is their father. Our children need to know that instead of staring back into a black hole with no connection. You ask why marriage? It is so that we have a record of the sacred bonds of blood relationship. I have heard young men say, "Man, I hear what you say, but I have never. I don't know who my father is." So this is very important as to why we need regulations to regulate this animal body that we're in and not just move on animal urges. God has not made us to remain animal. He made us so that we worship him. And in that worshiping him is that we serve humanity. That is how we worship God, by being of service to humanity. So this is a great responsibility that we have, and it does require us regulating and structuring systems and principles to bring about the best for the human being.
So I want to throw
there's a difference between lust and love. Talking about they are making love. In some cases, if they are answering those animal urges of lust. Lust is real.
Well, I got another call on the line. I want to take real quick, and then I want to address what you just said to perhaps introduce a thought I'd like people to ponder. But let me go to area code 111111. Please give us your name, where you're calling from, and your comments. Introduce yourself to our listening audience and our viewers. Area code 111111. Good morning. Yes.
How are you?
What's your name and where you're?
Good morning. Conversation. I was just going to say this. First of all, there's two traditions. One tradition is what everybody calls love that somebody made up. Love is a gift. That whole concept of how people pick and choose is kind of out of sort. Because how does love mean you beat somebody up, you abuse them and take advantage of them? Is that really love? That's not a gift. That's somebody abusing and taking advantage of you. And true love is universal. There's a creator that makes all of us. He brings us together to worship him and do his work if you're on that higher conscious level. This is not about a do my own thing type of thing or let me look for how pretty I am or how pretty she is. You said earlier something about lust and how people got lust going so tough till they have an internet piece where any young guy, if he's 8 years old, if he's got a credit card, he can go online and ask some woman to do anything he wants her to do. None of that's love. What's that, lust, desire, or whatever? But love itself is a gift, and it's not to be abused on either side. The last piece is this is not traditional. Women usually take in men, so women are the ones that make the decisions, not men. What are they going to do, grab you by the hair and drag you in there and say, come and go with me because I'm stronger? What man would do that? But that's the consent of society telling men that they boss women and run things. Men don't boss women, and they don't run anything. We work as a unified team to make it happen if anything. All this separate stuff where it's me, mine, I versus a we, us, and ours all off sync. And that's what creates the problem. That's why you have children being born who aren't even loved. So people just need to change the paradigm to what's universal love, not some man-made idea of I love you, whatever that is. I love you as long as you do what I tell you to do, right? Or I love you as much. I have some neighbors tell me they had friends that's supposed to be in love every day they fight. So she's coming out with a black eye and he's coming out holding her hand. What type of love is that? Is that insanity or what, y'all?
That's
we need
insanity.
To change that definition, but that's not unusual. If you think of everything traditional, it's not universal anyway. And that's why we don't have vertical consciousness where we rise. We're always being held down, and we're under something, not over it. We don't have we got understanding. We never have overstanding where we're in charge. We're always being left to be controlled by someone else's idea. No, get in harmony with the universe and be directed and guided by the creator who runs everything. He will pick who you're supposed to be with. Get over choosing for yourself.
Totally.
Do your mission.
Getting
and be prepared.
With
lastly, all relationships should be with people that are balanced mentally, spiritually, and physically. Not these people that are leaning on you, weighing you down, that have nothing to offer, and taking everything away from you. They don't have nothing to offer. Why are you in a relationship with somebody that's dragging you down? They have to come to the table as a balanced individual, and that's what makes it work. Otherwise, I don't know what y'all got going, but that ain't no relationship. Shalom.
Not love. Well, I thank you so much for calling. Now, he said something I'd like to pinpoint, and you mentioned something, Kareem, that I want us to grasp this thought. He said about being in harmony with the universe. All life, unless it somehow gets distorted, should be in harmony with the universe. And you know, as the Holy Quran states, that there's not a bird that flies in the air or animal that crawls in the earth that they form communities just like we do, and to their Lord they'll be gathered together, which means they have souls, spirits, communities, order, and all of the things that we have as a human family. Now, in the research, as I was doing research for the book, The Female Solution, I discovered out of all the species on the planet, there are only two species that make war with each other and capture people, capture others in war, and rape females. Only two species out of all the species on the planet, and that is chimpanzees and human beings. And I know we like to see ourselves as at the apex of creation, but in fact, all is expression of the divine creator. And if you look at all life and the process of creation, it's only those two species that abuse this, be weaponized against the female. Only those two species. Because the pleasure of the act is enjoyed by all species, but it's only those two species that do things in such a way that creates fear. Because why should someone fear, number one, being forcefully misused in their body, which is what is happening with women? And if that's the case, then why is it that chimpanzees and human beings do this to their females when that's out of order with nature, and the fact that the coming together of two people is supposed to be an expression of love? So what is lust? It is being aroused without the spiritual component of love that makes you have regard for that other person and their well-being. And so, as you said, our behavior has had to be regulated. But has that regulation changed what's in the heart and given us regard for each other? Or has it simply been rules and punishments for behavior that was out of order? So I propose this. It's not more rules that we need. It's a returning to the spirit of God in our understanding of each other and our reverence for each other and our love for each other. Because even if you are aroused at someone's physical form, if you have in your heart a love for them as a being, and a concern for their well-being, you would not abuse them. That has to be in your heart, your understanding that we are all expressions of God, and therefore, if I have a love of God, I would not misuse or abuse you. Then that is going to be what you express. A rule from the outside cannot change what's on the inside. The inside must change, and that's what the purpose of our religions are supposed to do, is change the inside, but they have not. They've given us rules, and many of those rules are not in alignment with love, and that's why they cause pain. So I want us to think about that, reflect on that. What rules and beliefs in our system are reflecting a thought that all living beings are of value and to be valued? And what ideas in our belief systems are harmful and punitive and unloving? And can we remove
the first rule? Unloving. The first rule is worship your guardian Lord. See, worship your guardian Lord. And as I expressed earlier, how do we do that? God does not need anything from us.
Absolutely.
It is by sharing the best of ourselves with each other. And God says he is the one that places love, affection, and mercy between your hearts. So we cannot leave the Creator from out of this equation. It is God that places love and mercy between your hearts, and thereby we live in tranquility one with each other. So let us not get away from rules. We are not anti-rules. For if just left on our own, like a lot of people are living now, look at the result of the rejection of rules. Not rules coming from man, but rules coming from the Creator. God is He who creates. So, and he has the sole priority to govern. We should stop coming up with a rejection of us having to bridle our animal urges within us. We need God, dear people.
Brother Kareem, I have more respect for the animals of the earth who do not violate each other in their act of intimacy. I have more respect for them and seeing them following the actual expression of God than I have seen the human family, who should know better. We got one more call. Let me see if I can squeeze in, Brother Green, before we go. Area code 407-701. I believe we got our sister, Viata. Viata, you got a few moments to make a thought before we leave.
I know. Yeah, I realize how late it was, but I just had to call in. I want to just remind us all, God is inside of us. All these organ cells, there's trillions of microbes. This is what the government and the medical system, educational system, has not been informing and teaching over the last 2 years. Our Creator is inside of us. We have trillions of cells and organs and tissues and things that represent the creative energy that formed the whole universe. We're microcosms. So our worship should go in for meditation. That's what we need to be focusing on, meditating out in nature, breathing, and the breath activates the Creator's energy inside of us. So that's my word today. That's why I do health and well-being on Friday, soul purpose healing on Sunday night, because the Creator keeps reminding me who I am, who we are. It's inside. Go inside. That's what we were meant to do in this pandemic, lockdown. Go inside. Meditate. Close your eyes. Breathe. Activate your body with your breath. That's where the Creator is first and foremost. Then the Creator is everywhere else. So thank you for this beautiful conversation today. I love you all. Have a beautiful day. Shalom.
Shalom, and we'll see you Friday morning. Now, we got another late caller. I'm not going over y'all, okay? Well, I'm going to get 773-957. You got, share your thoughts.
Yeah, I just want to say there's a difference in accepting the sexual doings. That's when it becomes, when it's not in agreement of the individuals, the two individuals. That's exploitation. Even though there's monetary doings and some relationships, that doesn't give exploitation, because that's authorized doing.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.
Well, we thank you. Hold on a second. I got a switch line.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/thefemalesolution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, xiexie. India, zanyaba. Japan, arigato. Korea, kamsahamnida. Russia, spasiba. Germany, danke. Poland, dziękuję. France, merci. Spain, gracias. Italy, grazie. Egypt, shukran. Ghana, medasi. Nigeria, eshe. South Africa, ngiyabonga. Senegal, jeret. Kenya, asante. Israel, toda. Pakistan, shukriya. Afghanistan, Tashakur. Saudi Arabia, shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessing.